At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu. It is a great day to be alive in Pittsburgh, PA, exclusively on YouTube today. Switching it up just a little bit. Welcome in to Kabali and Matt. Good morning. It's afternoon now. I should fix that. Good afternoon, friends, Yinzers, countrymen. Kaboom's got a big old jug of, what is that, iced tea?
For the brand, baby.
Oh, look at that. It's upside down, but that's okay. It was close enough. You tried. With those big old ice cubes. Follow us on social media at Kabali and Mac, because after the episode's over, we'll be giving away some more 412 gear for the shop 412 Days of Christmas. I got to congratulate Steve, who won. What did Steve win? I got to ship this out. The Arnold Palmer shop 412 hat. Got to congratulate Matt from Williamsburg, PA, who won the beanies the other day. The winter hats just in time for the cold weather. Those are getting shipped out this afternoon as well. Today, well, with today's episode, what we'll do is all the clips that we post between now and game time from this episode, all you got to do is repost one of them and tag a friend. I don't care if you do it on X, if you do it on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, tag a friend in a repost of one of the clips from today's show. You'll see them on social media. You'll be entered to win. Are you ready, Kaboom? Today, this is different. I've been giving away clothing and stuff. Today, we've got the Shop 412 driver head cover. Look at that. What they call the trifecta. It's got little skull and crossbones for the Pirates. It's got little steel beams for the Distillers. And little penguins on there, too. You see that? So you get all three represented.
And if you don't want to use it as a golf cover, the kids nowadays could use that as that oven mitt sliding.
Yeah, look at that. See?
Use that too.
Right? Just lie to your kids and tell them it's a sliding mitt, because they love to have the swag on when they play like in-house baseball, because you got to have swag, apparently. Rick said he just got his hoodie 15 minutes ago in the mail. He won last week with the Shop 412 Days of Christmas here on Kabali and Mac. We appreciate every single one of
you. Actually give it away then, right?
What do you think I do?
I don't know. All I'm saying is Rick got it, so it's not like it's bullshit. We just give it away.
Rick's all the way up in Canada, and we got him his hoodie like that.
It's a 412. Okay. I mean, go on the website, support the local shops.
Yes, and they got a ton of great stuff. So just in
get
time
some iron. For I don't think they can ship iron.
No, I don't think.
But you can probably get this hat though.
You can get whatever you need. Go to shop412.com. We appreciate them supporting the show. Justin, don't call me Justine, is really in on having us talk about Survivor Series at some point today. We'll see if we get to that before the end of the show, because the Steelers play the Ravens. We'll have Jeremy Kahn from The Fan in Baltimore, their morning show. He's going to join us for a little peek behind enemy lines. As always, thanks to Impact HVAC for supporting the show. Get your furnace checked out, because it's really cold out right now, and maybe it's not doing what you want it to do. They'll come get you that furnace checkup. Half price right now, $39.99 instead of $79.99 if you donate an article of kids' clothing, a new article of kids' clothing, or a new unwrapped kids' toy for them to get to the Foster Love Project. They'll cut the cost on that furnace checkup in half. We appreciate Impact HVAC supporting the show. Message them on Facebook at Impact HVAC PGH, or give them a call at 412-297-1852. Again, exclusively on YouTube today. We appreciate you joining us. Kaboom clearly much more concerned with his appearances as he has tucked the wired headphones under his sweatshirt to give a cleaner appearance. And I think you unplugged your mic while you were doing that because nobody can hear you. Nope, can't hear a thing. What did you do? This is why you come to us for the live technical issues while we're on the stream. Nope, nothing. What did you do? You got messing around with the headphones because you had to try and look cool and tuck them into your sweatshirt. And now nobody can hear you. How are we going to get insights on what Adam Thielen had to say yesterday if we can't even hear you talk? No, nothing. Nothing. You might have to leave, come back in, make sure the thing is plugged in and... I would say it's like herding kittens, but it's more like just herding one cat in particular. It's Kaboom. It's what we've come to expect. So we'll talk about Steelers-Ravens. Is there any level of confidence that any of us have that they can actually slow down Derrick Henry? Although the Ravens offense has been a disaster of their own making over the last 3 weeks. I don't think they've scored more than 23 in the last... 4 weeks, maybe. All right. Let's see if, can we actually hear you now?
I don't know. Can you?
Yes.
All right.
Don't touch anything.
Reboot.
Control alt delete. Control alt delete. No, James, Penn State does not have a coach yet. It's an utter disaster.
It's not working.
What's not working? You're fine. Don't touch anything. We can hear you and we can see you. Don't touch anything. Okay. Don't touch anything. Okay. It's a simple direction. Don't touch it.
Wait.
Oh, God. What are you going to do now? We want to get going here.
All right. Can you hear me?
Oh, what did you do?
I don't know what's going on here. Hello.
I can hear you, but you screwed up the audio.
Hello, can you hear me?
Barely. Oh, my God.
Shoot, that's not right. Oh, hello, are you there?
Yes, we can't see you now, though. You're frozen. Dear Lord. Now he's just a spinning wheel. Jesus. We're going to get this off the ground. This plane is going to take off eventually. I think. He has no idea. Look at Carol trying to be nice. Oh, Lord, must be the cold weather. I don't think that's it, Carol. I appreciate you being nice and trying to support Mark in his time of need, but he's not figuring it out. He's totally gone now. We don't even have the spinning wheel. You're right. This is prime Kabali. This is Kaboom in all his glory right here. Thank you, James. Breaking news. Yes. According to sources, this is Carol. This is just like his car getting stuck in the grass in Latrobe. This is. Could you just stop touching stuff?
I don't know what the hell's going on.
Don't touch anything.
I'm not.
Okay?
I don't understand what happened.
I don't either, because I'm not there to hold your hand through this, but don't touch nothing, okay? We got you now, okay?
Right, let's rock and roll then.
All right, apparently Matt Campbell to Penn State is happening.
I don't even know who Matt Campbell is.
Iowa State coach.
Wow, that's a home run.
I mean, it's not a terrible hire. This isn't Brian Kelly or Brian Daboll.
Whoa. Let's hear what you just said there.
It's not a terrible hire. I realize what I just said.
That's not terrible.
He's made Iowa State a Big 12 contender on an almost annual basis in freaking Iowa State. So,
you know what? If you were going to do this,
what?
Probably should have kept Jimmy Franklin.
I mean, well, they couldn't keep Jimmy.
Well, this Jimmy is was a disaster. Done. I mean, they made like $500 million for about six different other coaches by just using Penn State, and they end up getting the bottom of the scrap heap. They're not their number one choice, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, or 10. So if you're going to go that way, you either stay with Terry Smith or, I don't know. To put it this way, this is, as a outsider, you're more of an insider. Something tells me this is not moving the needle in University Park.
I'll say this. It will move it better than I think simply sticking with Terry Smith would have moved it. Or, like I said, Brian Kelly or Brian Daboll or something like that. We can't deny that Pat Kraft screwed this up, the whole coach search.
Didn't Pat Kraft really want Daboll?
Which is just ludicrous.
You know, and all this time I thought Tomlin was going to Penn State.
Thank you, Ben. We will. This is great. Jessica says Cabali's like George Pickens. Sometimes he has it together. Others, he goes back to his old ways.
Yeah, remind me of the days I actually have it together. I'd like to know when those are.
Before we get into Thielen, because he talked for a while yesterday, and I want to talk about Thielen. I want to talk about the Steelers actually having a chance to maybe slow down Derrick Henry today, or not today, Sunday. Let's talk about Pickens last night. Cowboys lost to the Lions, and we got peak uninterested George Pickens.
Yeah.
So as much as we've complained about the Steelers' lack of a number two wide receiver and how great Pickens has looked through the first 13 weeks in Dallas, the beginning of week 14 got them their peak George Pickens experience. He was just not interested last
year. Yeah, he still had a pretty nice catch. But,
yeah.
I mean, this is the issue was. You never – it just didn't rear its head until week whatever. We were 14, 13, whatever we're at. I was watching some of those morning shows today. And
that's all they talked about.
Good buddy Dano was really, really carrying the water for George Pickens.
Yep.
Which I don't know if you heard what he said, saying something to the fact of, well, he knew he wasn't getting press man, and there was a safety over the top, so he wasn't going to get the ball. Okay. Still don't dog it. You still got like 10 other guys out there, 4 other eligibles out there that may depend on what you're doing, make them open. So, but for the majority, it was like, hey, what's going on with George here? And hey, maybe it was just a one-time event here in Dallas. Maybe he bounces back, but that's the worry. That was the worry about why you never know what George is going to show up. And I found it interesting. It came off the heels of that story. I believe, I forget where I read it at, where they said they talked to George, some Steelers people, and they're like, you never knew what George was going to show up. If he was happy, everybody loved him, then he was just, sometimes he would just be disengaged and nowhere to be found. That was what we saw last night.
Yeah, it's 9 times out of 10, you may get the George Pickens that they've had for most of the year in Dallas. You're still 1 time out of every 10 going to get that guy last night who, when the play's not going to him, he doesn't even bother to put his mouthpiece in, and he jogs off the line and doesn't look interested. That's still going to happen. And that's, like, when you're a guy who's playing for a contract, and he is, when you're playing for a contract, I can't understand putting that on tape even once. Like, he was putting together the kind of season where everybody was looking at George going, man, maybe he turned over a new leaf. Maybe this guy gets it now.
Yeah.
And instead, everybody walks away from last night's game going, same George is still in there. Still in there. Nothing's going to change.
Same George. And that's what you worry about. If you're going to invest $30 million a year on him, what George are you going to get? The problem is now is with the Dallas Cowboys is they're going to have to franchise tag him probably to keep him around. And you might get more of that George and what you want. When you franchise somebody, guess what, my man? It's guaranteed money. So, I mean, nobody doubts his talent when he gets his mentals right. And hey, maybe he was just having a bad day, but we've seen it for 3 years now. So this is the 4th year, I believe, right? So old Tiger doesn't change its spots.
Yes. Tigers famously have spots. Leopards don't change their stripes.
The Jaguars don't change their stripes.
Thanks to our friends at Higgins Professional Painting for supporting the show. They specialize in any kind of painting you need done. Interior, exterior, you got a business, commercial, industrial, but at your house, they'll come on out. They'll give you a color consultation. Did you have one the other day?
Yesterday.
How'd it go?
Yeah, you know, a lady came over and I was just sitting in the corner and they were talking about, I swear to you, they're talking about paint, wallpapers, built-ins, carpets. And I'm like, I just want the walls like a different color. So I think it's just been taken out of my jurisdiction right now.
Okay. But so, the point is, they'll do it all.
They're like, hey, do you want us to do this? I'm like, wallpaper? What is this, the 80s? They're like, no, wallpaper's in now. I'm like, whatever.
You're not in charge of it, ultimately. But they'll come in and get all that work done and do a fantastic job of it. Get in touch with them to schedule your free estimate today. Maybe even get a color consultation like Kaboom.
In-house.
412-344-0480. Or just go to HigginsProfessional.com. All right. Here's the question that I think a lot of people want an answer to. And that's, how much is Adam Thielen actually going to be used by the Steelers? Will he catch more passes than Mike Williams did? Will Thielen actually have an impact? You wrote that he was out there working with the quarterbacks after practice yesterday. He's in the playbook. He's trying to learn things as quickly as possible. It feels like they're going to throw. I mean, there's no point in going out and getting a guy in December if you're going to sit around and wait to use him.
Yeah. I mean, first of all, he didn't talk to us media folk until probably 4:30, I want to say. And practice was over at 2:40. Waited for him in the locker room. By that time, there's only a handful of us that stuck around for him. He apologized, but, you know, he made my day a little bit longer. But whatever. He seemed like a very, very intriguing guy to me. It's more than just a guy that was a star. You know, usually when you find guys who are stars, and he was a star for in this league for a handful of years. I mean, just 2 years ago, he had 100 catches, 1,000 yards, right?
Mm-hmm.
35. The guy has three young kids living in Minnesota, and he decides, I want to leave for this last month to go play for the Pittsburgh Steelers, where he could have just honestly packed it in, collect the last month of paycheck, retire as Minnesota Viking, have his eggnog, have his holidays at home, not play. The guy wants to play. The guy really, really wants to play. And first of all, he's a little bit bigger than you think he is. I thought he was going to be tiny. He's not huge, but he's not small.
Okay.
The guy does you could tell right away the route running crispness just through a couple games. He's a pro's pro. Now, is that going to be able to translate into what they're looking for? We always think that Artie Smith is going to use Pat Freiermuth and guys like that until they do. Let's hope that they trot him out there Sunday and give him an opportunity, because I think he can potentially have some deep ball threats. He did it last year. He has a great possession, great route running, and he's really, really putting a lot of time into it. Can't ask for much more than that from a December pickup, right?
Yeah, as long as they use him. And that's the thing. If you're going to pick this guy up, then at the very least, use him. Because this offense can't get much worse. Yeah. I mean, they've scored more than 20 points once in the last five games.
Count the passes that have gone over 20 yards, too.
None. Yeah. So it can't get worse, I guess, is the theme on offense. So hopefully they use Thielen. Hopefully it actually opens some things up for DK, who's been blanketed in coverage constantly for like the last 8 weeks. I don't know what this means for an Arthur Smith offense that traditionally uses multiple tight ends, and Thielen being more of a slot guy than an outside guy. I don't think this means the Steelers barely run 40 plays a game on offense as it is.
That's number one problem, right?
Yeah. So I don't know if this means Adam Thielen's going to be on the field for 40 snaps on Sunday. But again, you don't go out and pick up this guy to have him stand on the sidelines like Mike Williams did last year.
You liked my remembrance of the number two possibilities over the past 3 years: Van Jefferson, Allen Robinson, God. Robert Woods, Scotty Miller, Quez Watkins. I forgot all about Quez Watkins. Ben Skoranek, MVS, Hakeem Butler, Gunnar Olszewski, Miles Boykin. I mean, these are just some of the top level ones. I mean, you got Brandon Johnson was in there just recently. They've been searching for this guy for a while now, ever since the DJ Deontay Johnson left. So and made Pickens the number one. So I don't know. Thielen is an interesting guy. I think he's going to run the right routes. I think he's going to be a guy in the right place. Aaron Rodgers likes that. And maybe he won't miss a call with the line either. So, you know, one of these things or whatever. Right. Like I said, it's not costing you anything. The guy wants to be here. Why would he want to be here? Seriously. If you're 35 years in the league, you know you only have 4 games left. What the hell you want to come here for? He must really want to play.
Yeah, I don't doubt that he really wants to play. I don't doubt that at all. My doubt is on the side of whether they'll actually give him an opportunity to get involved in the offense.
Yeah. Look at Minnesota, though. I mean, you look at Minnesota, first of all, they have cheap quarterbacks this whole year. Plus, they've got a couple of good guys in front of them, so there was really no room for him. I think you could look more back to last year when he came back from his hamstring injury in Carolina, where he had pretty decent numbers in those last 6-7 games. And that was coming off a season where he had 105 and 1,000 yards and 6-7 touchdowns. Still might be some left in him. Let's see if he's up to speed. Let's see how much they use him. I think if they use him, even in specific situations, I think he'll help them. I mean, I don't think he's going to be a guy that's like on the practice squad like MVS and can't find a spot. I don't think that's going to happen.
Like, I don't look at his Minnesota numbers, like you said, and go, oh, well, he didn't do anything in Minnesota. Like you said, Jefferson and Addison and Naylor are all ahead of him. And then you've also got a quarterback disaster in Minnesota, whether it was Wentz or McCarthy or what's the other guy's name? Rosmer, or back to McCarthy this weekend. Like, it not a good quarterback situation, and 3 guys ahead of him on the wide receiver depth chart.
Yeah, so plus he's 35, so why would you use a 35-year-old who pretty much, you know, knew at the beginning of the season he was going to retire, you know, although he backed off at it a little bit. He goes, you never know. Hey, if you come up and have a good final 5 games of the season, maybe you do come back for year 13. But we're getting out ahead of ourselves right there right now. But let's just see if he can catch a 3 or 4 passes, a couple over the middle, open up DK a little bit. I don't think it's going to open up DK. I think he's going to have to produce. It's not going to say, hey, let's watch Adam Thielen and let DK's man to man. No, it's not going to be like that.
No, but I think, if Thielen catches a couple balls and does a little damage, then I think it changes the way the defense handles things. Yeah. You know, you can't double Metcalf on every play then, I don't think. And if they actually, and this has been a question mark for the last month plus now, if they actually commit to the run game, which they have not done. They
when you run 25 plays a game, it's hard to commit to the run.
I guess.
I don't blame that all on the offense. I mean, defense, get the hell off the field. I mean, it's both of them.
Yeah.
I guess it's more offense and defense because you can move the chains, but get off the damn field.
Well, that's my other worry this weekend is that Henry's averaging like 4.7 yards a carry this year.
And to me, he looks like he's a step slow.
Just wait till Sunday. I'm sure he'll look full speed again.
I'm just saying he looks like a step slow, and Lamar looks 2 steps slow to me. Maybe our guests will be able to clear that up for us.
Speaking of, from the Big Bad Morning Show and 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore, Jeremy Kahn joins the show. Hello, Jeremy. How are you, my friend?
What a fabulous beard.
Thank you. I did shave for Chris. Chris, you know where. Anyway, thanks, man. Yeah. No, it's good to be with you guys. I heard you talking about Lamar looking a step slow or 2 steps slow. That's clear and obvious to everyone out there. I think he's dealing with something. He has been all year. I don't know if he's going to get that Steve McNair treatment where he doesn't practice all week, shows up, and he's a full participant and then plays on Sunday. But with Derrick Henry, I feel like the offensive line has really let him down. This is the – I think it's his worst of his career of – where he gets hit at the line of scrimmage, first point of contact. And it's really, this year, it's behind the line of scrimmage. And when you get him going downhill, that's when he's at his best.
You got to think, though, that the Baltimore coaching staff is watching the Bills tape and just salivating at the idea of having like three or four plays that they can go to and they can get Henry downhill a little bit. And he'll just start chewing up yards against the Steelers the way James Cook did last week and the way Derrick Henry did last year.
Yeah, I mean, because the Ravens definitely use their running backs. It's not like they wouldn't forget to use them on a Thursday night against the worst defense in the history of the league or anything like that. No, I don't have confidence that they're in there. Like, I think you could be looking at that football for dummies and knowing their next play that they're going to call. It's been horrendous here watching this with Derrick Henry and having someone of that caliber and then watching them not use him. Because before, we said this when they played the Titans. It's like, why'd you get away from the run game in the postseason? Then they run into the Chiefs and the Bills, and it's like, hey, the Bills just ran for 200 yards on the Chiefs. What do you guys want to do? Why don't we throw against them the whole game? Because that's smart. And they just keep screwing it up in the postseason. So I guess the point being is, like, looking at this coaching staff, after what happened Thursday night, I think they have to get out there and give Derrick Henry the ball about 20 times and give Keaton Mitchell the ball too. That guy is just so explosive. So, yeah, I mean, they're going to try to do the same thing Buffalo did, hopefully. And if they do that, I think they can be successful.
I mean, it's no secret. I mean, Derrick Henry's top five carries games this year resulted in wins, five of the six. If they give any explanation of why they don't just feed the guy more? Well, any explanation?
The funniest thing about Thursday night against Cincinnati, and to me, this is the worst loss I've ever seen because I watch Cincinnati's defense, and those guys, it looks like they're playing with nine guys out there. That's how bad it is. They're terrible against the run. And you know what? Even though the Ravens came in and threw the ball on almost every damn down, they still should have beat that sorry-ass team. They scored two touchdowns on 30-yard runs, and they didn't run the football. I don't know why it happens or why this goes on all the time, but it is frustrating. And we keep talking about the similarities between these two teams, right? Like, the fan base is starting to hate the coach, question a lot of things they're doing. What's going on with the offensive line? Hey, why does the defense look like this? It's never looked this bad. Oh, wait, in the middle of the season, they're all of a sudden fixed. It's just been a really weird year. So, yeah, man, I don't expect much from this team, but getting Derrick Henry the ball would make a hell of a lot of sense.
Is there any concern at all that Rodgers and this offense can get anything going against the Ravens defense? I mean, we talked about it the other day, Jeremy. Like, Rodgers physically may not be able to do what he once could. Mentally, he's still there. Like, he's making the checks at the line. He's trying to get guys into the right routes. He's trying to get into the right plays. He can still do all that. He can read a defense. But is there any concern on the Ravens side that the Steelers are going to come in and be able to put together any semblance of offense? Is the other thing we talked about. They barely run 40 plays a game. They got out possessioned like 42 minutes to 18 last week.
Yeah, I think I heard somebody say today, who's quarterbacking this week for the Steelers? And then somebody else yelled, who cares? And again, like, I don't mean to say that to be dismissive, but like, has Mason been better than Aaron Rodgers in your opinion? Or is it like, has it been close?
There's your answer. We both went,
Well, put it this way. He could have won that Chicago game. I don't know when you were talking about how poor the, effort was against the Bengals, the Ravens. Did you happen to watch that Steelers-Bills game?
Yeah, I saw that. Was it 55 rushes, I think, or something ridiculous?
Yeah, it was 30 of them were the same play.
Yeah.
Same play.
That's why I'm saying I think these teams are just mirror images of each other. And we came into this season thinking we were going to have maybe a generational team. You know, you had five first-round picks in your secondary. They lose Matt Abike, which we don't know if he's ever going to play again. They're being very quiet on that front with a neck injury. Who has any idea? And then you start looking at all the injuries they had across the board, but it's like, how are you playing this bad? How is this defense this bad? We had somebody on from the Texans when the Ravens played them, and he goes, how the hell are we favored in this game? Have you seen our offense? And sure enough, they come in here and move down this Ravens defense like a warm knife through butter. So, your guess is as good as mine. I was sitting there like dismissing the Cincinnati Bengals and somebody was like, you know, they can get back into this. And I'm like, oh my God, they actually can because of how bad this division is.
That's what I was going to say. Like, do you think the door? I think it's open, given how the Steelers and Ravens have played. Do you think the door is open for the Bengals to come back and steal this division, Jeremy?
I don't, because we're all talking about it. So is it cracked? Sure it is. There's an opportunity. I don't want people to think just because Joe Burrow came back on Thursday night and won a game against the Ravens that all of a sudden that defense is fixed. There was plenty of plays out there. I mean, you had the pass interference call go against Zay Flowers. You had Isaiah Likely fumble through the back of the end zone. And then they got the whoopsies in the fourth quarter. So, I don't think they make that run. I think they're dead in the water. But it is still open for them. And until you finally put that last nail in the coffin, there's going to be that threat of them.
Well, there's a lot of talk around here about Tomlin getting fired. I'm sure that's been thrown around in Baltimore a little bit about Harbaugh. Is there any realistic chance that he's not back next year?
All of the guys on our morning show, we asked the question, if the Ravens miss the playoffs, does Harbaugh get fired? We all said no. I, of the three of us, and I mean, one of my co-hosts isn't a fan, but I've been saying this for the longest time. Like, he's like a supervisor. Hey, you're the defensive coordinator. You do the stuff with the defense, the offensive coordinator. You do that stuff, and I'll let you know when we go for it on fourth down or if we're taking the ball. You know, like, it's that type of stuff. And after games, when we've seen this where they don't run the football, and you start asking him questions and he's sidestepping, he's doing this and he's getting away from every single question you ask him. And then when they win the game, he's reading scripture afterwards. You know, so it's like, I am so sick of this, what we've been seeing from this team. I felt like they've had the most talented team in football the past 3 years, and they haven't even gotten to the Super Bowl.
This is a great comment. I got to pop it up for a second. Jessica said, look at what Hard Knocks has done to the AFC North.
What are you talking about? I'm 24. Look at this.
So with both teams looking as poorly as they have, Jeremy, somebody still has to win this game. And so when you try to look at it even-handedly, I mean, it might be the ugliest game, not just on the schedule this week, in this NFL all year. What is the prescription for either team to win this game? Is it just keep the ball away from the other offense? I mean, is either team capable of building any momentum in this game, in your opinion?
Yeah, look, I think if we're honestly looking at this game, I think the Ravens defense is going to be the best unit on the field out of the four. I can't believe I'm saying that with what this offense did last year and what they're doing this year. But with Lamar's injury and whether or not he can get the ball from point A to point B, sometimes it looks really ugly. Who knows? But I do feel like the Ravens with a little extra time to get ready. I had an old co-host that said, if you think you have a good football team, I don't know if this is accurate with the Ravens, and they get embarrassed on national TV, that team usually steps up and plays well in the next game. You just happen to have the Steelers here. 10 days to get ready, the way that the defense has been playing, and they're getting healthier, getting Ardarius Washington and a couple other guys back. Tavius Robinson, who, I mean, the guy was playing 70 defensive plays a game. He played more defensive plays than anybody. So getting those guys back is going to help. I would lean on the Ravens being able to make that run because I do trust their running game when they use it and their defense.
What about Lamar? I mean, you have to put a percentage on him. Where is he? I mean, obviously he's – something's going on, like you mentioned. I mean, where do you put him at? Can he take over games, or is he still – is that going to be – have to wait till next year till he's 100% healthy, till you really find out what's going on and if he gets completely healed from whatever his ailment is? I'm sure they're not telling anybody the exact truth.
No, they haven't said anything about it, really. Like, it went from first being a hamstring, and then it was like, oh, he's got a knee issue, then it's a calf. Then it's an ankle and it's a toe. I don't know where they're going to go after this, but I'm assuming it's something in the lower leg. They asked Lamar about it. He said he's 100%. I've watched him run a couple times. He doesn't look like he's 100%. I mean, I think he's probably somewhere around 80%. And there was some talk of somebody stepping on him at practice. And does that hamper him? But if I fully think he's going to get that treatment where he just doesn't practice and then we see what he looks like on game day. He is good enough to turn it around. And as I pointed out, even in Thursday night's game, he made two amazing throws. One of those deep balls to Zay Flowers where there was some hand fighting and gets called for OPI. Maybe his numbers don't look as bad, but I'm watching a guy that I saw play last year have trouble getting the ball from point A to point B more times than not. So yeah, there is something off. I would say like what, 70, 80% maybe. If I don't even know if that's good.
Is there as much frustration around the receiving corps in Baltimore as there is here in Pittsburgh? I mean, we're at the point where, all due respect, which means I can say anything I want now, they're bringing in 35-year-old Adam Thielen in December here in Pittsburgh. Is there as much frustration down there? Because Mark Andrews has had an up and down year. It's Flowers, it's Bateman occasionally. I mean, is there the same level of frustration there?
Yeah, there is some. I mean, Bateman got hurt. The problem with this offense is there's so many mouths to feed, and you know the running game's got to be a big part of it. You have to have guys that are willing to buy in. Some of the things we heard is that, like, DeAndre Hopkins isn't happy with his role. He got more playing time when Bateman went out. Isaiah Likely, not happy with his role. Obviously, there were contract extension talks. That stuff stopped. Mark Andrews gets an extension now, and it's like that came out of nowhere. So I think with the receiving core, the biggest thing that we gripe about in Baltimore is how they use Zay Flowers. Zay Flowers has one touchdown on the season. They're using him in all these jet sweeps and, you know, gadget plays that they have. I don't mind them throwing the ball off the line of scrimmage, but when you have that type of speed and the ability to get open downfield, you got to push it and try it a few times. Like, even with Keaton Mitchell, you could use him in that role that you were using Zay Flowers with the stuff off the line of scrimmage. I think that's more of the problem. And look, in the history of this team, the Ravens have always struggled in finding wide receivers. For the first time in a long time, we felt we had a good offense. It just hasn't shown, I think, mainly because of Lamar's injuries and a weak offensive line.
Speaking of that offensive line, those tackles, Rosengarten. Rosengarten. I remember, what was that movie? Rookie, whatever. Rosengarten and Stanley. Obviously, the Steelers have pretty good edge rushers, well, on paper. are those guys susceptible? How have their years have gone, those two tackles?
I think the tackles have been better than the interior. Tyler Lindebaum coming up on a contract year, if you look at how he's grading out as a first-round pick that's expecting to get, you know, $20 million a year or somewhere around there, he hasn't played like it. I don't think he's been awful. He just hasn't been what you expect out of a first-round center, especially in a contract year. Ronnie Stanley, he's been fine. He's been okay. Like, you know, it's almost like you want to give him a pass sometimes when you go up against a Myles Garrett. And you guys, the same thing with the TJ Watt, but you're going to look at a situation where I think Rosengarten's been their best offensive lineman because everybody and their mother, people's mothers have called into the show saying how much they hate Falele. This guy gets beat up more than anyone. I hope he doesn't listen to radio because he's got to hate everyone as well. He's one of those guys that he has such bad plays. You're like, is he being for real or is he blind? He whiffed on a block, like whiffed on a run play, and Keaton Mitchell still picked up 12 yards. So Falele has been getting beaten up. Voorhees can go back to Crystal Lake for all I care. We'll see if they start using Emery a bit more. But it's just been a who's who of nobody's in the middle of that line, and they've struggled. And I think it's been a big part of their issue this year offensively.
So what is the view of the Steelers at this point in Baltimore? Is everyone looking at them saying, okay, this is prime? You know, we looked at it, I guess, six, seven weeks ago, and everybody said, well, you know, the Ravens are going to come back and steal this division, and we expected it here. I don't know if it was expected back down there that the Ravens would come back in this divisional race, but is there any fear that the Steelers can hold on to this thing against the Ravens, or is it kind of like, the Steelers aren't the Steelers anymore?
I mean, I think it's a little bit more of the meh, you know, like looking at the Steelers this year. I mean, I've been talking about them all season long saying there's just something off. It doesn't look like I can't tell you what's wrong with the defense from afar, but why are they getting gashed so much? And this is something, too, where we talked about the Ravens and Steelers and this smash-mouth football in the AFC North, and it's weird watching these defenses just get shredded in the run game. I don't think people are being totally dismissive. They understand that the odds have come out. Whoever wins this game has a 70-some percent chance of making the playoffs. Whoever loses has got like 20-some percent, and it vastly changes. But because everybody's been so bad, I don't care what those percentages are until they see the Steelers the second time. But I do think fans are confident in this game, maybe a little bit too much.
I mean, you know, just listening to this and knowing what we know, I feel a little disappointed here. I mean, Steelers, Ravens, slobber knockers, you know, knock yourself out for the division championship, and we got, like, we're expecting a pillow fight here. Yeah. I mean, don't know how you guys feel. I'm a little depressed right now.
It's weird that this game means so much and everyone's just like, it's like a couple of fives arguing over who's prettier, you know, like that's what it feels like. It's unbelievable to see these two teams where they're at. And again, like the one thing I keep going back to, because the Ravens have Lamar, I feel like no matter what happens at the end of the season, they're still going to be here. The Steelers got to find their quarterback and figure out what the identity is going to be. But the Ravens struggle with that all year long. Once they made that trade for Aloe Gilman, they moved Kyle Hamilton to the line, like closer to the line, like a monster back. That's when everything changed for them defensively as far as the run defense. But ultimately, you're right. Like, even we always say Steeler week. I don't know if you guys call it Ravens week there, but some fans get mad. Why do you call it Steelers week? That's who we're playing. Like, what do you mean? Like, and we haven't been getting the calls of people, you know, this rivalry, like Steeler fans calling in and talking trash. We have a ton of them down here. It just hasn't been that way. Like, it's more like, hey, you guys look better than we do. Ho hum stuff. Like you pointed out.
Man. So here's with us all in our depression about the Steelers Ravens rivalry, not being what it should be. I think I saw the stat earlier in the week. I may have even heard it when I came on your show, Jeremy. I can't remember. The first time since like 1999 or something that these two teams have met, and neither of them has had a winning record this late in the season. Is there, you mentioned Harbaugh earlier, if the Ravens end up missing the playoffs, will that turn up the heat anymore? And will, like, we look at Tomlin now and it's as loud as it's ever been for Mike Tomlin to get the boot after this year. But we're still trying to build scenarios in our heads about, well, maybe if they take away all his assistants and don't let him hire new ones and they take control and they take full control of the roster. We're trying to come up with the scenarios where we could actually see Tomlin leaving. Is there a scenario in your head where Harbaugh would actually be gone after this year?
I mean, again, they just signed him to an extension in the offseason. I don't think that means as much when we're talking about billionaires here. And ownership can afford to let him go. But these two organizations, teams, whatever you want to call it, they've allowed their coaches to hang around for long periods of time and go through these ruts. Like I was talking to somebody else about winning a Super Bowl with the worst Super Bowl team I think I've ever seen. That's what the Ravens did in 2012. And then they were like, well, that's what Bill Cowher did with the Steelers. That's probably the next one you go back down to when he got his opportunity. Like, how good was that team? It's frustrating to look at it because I don't think they're going to fire him. I don't think they're going to get rid of him. And the weird thing is, if he makes the playoffs, we know it's not going to happen. But I don't think we're going to see wholesale changes here either. Looking at it, I either want them to blow up completely and lose every game the rest of the way or win the whole damn thing. Because, again, we keep talking about if you get in, I don't even care if it's the Steelers, if Cincy makes the run with that awful-ass defense, whoever gets in, is there any team that you fear? Like, the teams at the top right now, Jacksonville, Indy, if you want to put them there, Buffalo's been – I mean, they've been beaten by some bad teams this year. I don't think anybody's really great. I think we might have some good by the end of it.
So, everybody has a platform, a medium now. You know, everybody got a podcast. Here in Pittsburgh, former Steelers tend to be very vocal recently about the Steelers' misfortunes, the James Harrisons, the Ben Roethlisbergers. Is there anybody in Baltimore? Am I hearing you guys hearing Ray Lewis, Ed Reed, Elvis Gerbeck, whoever it is, Elvis Dumerville, what was his name? Was he on that?
Yeah, he was on
anybody are coming out publicly and saying, hey, this is not a Ravens typical team. What's going on?
You know what? Come to think of it, no. I don't hear much of it. I've talked to some of these guys behind the scenes, and I'm not going to name names, but yeah, they'll point fingers like, I don't like that. But when they get on the mic, they're not going to call them out. They're not, because I think some of it's the longevity. Now, there's a handful of guys that have no problem saying things. Go ask Bernard Pollard what he thinks about the Ravens. Even when they're good, he'll tell you some things. You've got some vocal guys. I think Ed Reed has no problem criticizing them. There have been some players this year that have talked about this team in specific and how bad it's looked, but not really going after Harbaugh. It hasn't been the case. I think the media has gone after Harbaugh more than anyone.
All right, Jeremy, before we let you go, like I said, somebody's got to win this game. So give us a pick.
Not really.
No. Yeah. 10-10 tie, right? who wins this game? Give us a winner and give us a score.
Yeah. I think I had 27-17 Ravens. Maybe I'd feel different if it was in Pittsburgh. I just, it's, I keep watching Lamar and you're almost waiting. It's like, come on, put on the cape. What are you doing? Why are you playing like that? Come on, let's see. Like, he's going to just show up in one of these games. But until I see that, like, I could see anything happening in this division, but I do think the Ravens win this game on Sunday.
All right. God, dark days in the AFC North.
At least we got baseball. Oh, wait a minute.
You had to do that, didn't you?
Hold on. My Orioles sucked.
Hey, at least we got ML. No, what is that called? Division C soccer.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go.
They're national champions. At least we got a girls' volleyball team at Pitt.
I don't want to know why you're paying attention to Pitt women's volleyball. I'm not. I really don't.
Who do you think I am?
I mean, there's nothing wrong with watching women's volleyball.
You have to take a deep dive. You got a deep dive to find some something to cheer about in Pittsburgh these days.
As long as you're not watching it alone in a dark room.
It could be worse. You could be just hire an Iowa State guy as your head coach at your alma mater, right?
Shut up. Nobody asked you. All right, Jeremy, we appreciate you joining us and getting stuck in the middle of our argument for a couple minutes, too. Enjoy the game on Sunday as much as you can. Maybe we'll catch up again at the end of the year when these two meet again, if anything's on the line.
Anytime, guys. Great seeing you. I would say good luck. If you guys win, please win the rest of the way out, and so the Ravens can lose out.
You know,
if you guys lose, keep losing.
Yeah. All right, man. We'll see you. Have a great weekend. Jeremy Kahn with us here on Cabali and Mac from the Big Bad Morning Show on 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore.
Hart's taking goddamn strays.
Well, I think he was. Yeah,
Baltimore stinks too, right?
Yeah,
they were good, and then they sucked again.
Yeah,
it sucks. Good suck. At least the Pirates are even. Suck. But they got this great power hitter that the Red Sox just said, here, take him.
Do you know how to say his name?
No, come on. I can't even say Rowan Gartner's name.
No, that's true. You can't. Thanks to the Dan Heck team for supporting the show. You're looking to buy or sell a home in the Pittsburgh area, they will help yins out. The Dan Heck team. Go to heckteamhomes.com, H-A-E-C-K, heckteamhomes.com. Check out the listings if you're looking for a new place. They'll help you get out of the old one as well and into the new one stress-free as buying and selling a home can be in the Pittsburgh area. It's the Dan Heck team taking care of you at heckteamhomes.com, H-A-E-C-K. We appreciate their support of the show. All right, let's make some picks for this weekend. Are you ready?
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, as ready as we're going to be now that we're all thoroughly depressed about the state of the Steelers-Ravens rivalry.
I think I won yesterday, though, right?
We both did. We both had the Lions, yeah. So you don't gain any ground.
I still think you did. I thought you had Dallas.
No, I never said I had Dallas. Clearly said Detroit. But way to try and fix it. Good work by you.
Look at that scope.
There are some really good games this weekend. There are also some really ugly games. So I'll start with one.
I haven't even looked.
Okay, well, then this will be fresh for you.
Oh, it's fresh.
Colts are going to Jacksonville, where they haven't won in a decade. Indy and Jacksonville.
Doesn't Indy always struggle in Jacksonville? I think they do.
They haven't won there in a decade.
I'm not listening to you. I'm looking up the odds here to see what I'm trying to pick here. Yeah, even when they're good or even when they suck, Jacksonville tends to win. I think Jacksonville's a big phony farce.
Really?
Give me the Jaguars.
Dang it. I'm on Jacksonville, too. It's not going to help. Cincy in Buffalo. They could score 100 points in this game.
Which one?
Yes.
I mean, Cincinnati just awful. You're the only one that thinks they're going to win the freaking division.
I think they could. Look at the Steelers and Ravens.
What about Darius Slay just saying, I don't want to go to Buffalo? Too cold. Okay, you went to Detroit, you went to Pittsburgh, and you went to Philly, and it's too cold in Buffalo.
Way to bring that up out of nowhere.
It's Buffalo. They're playing Buffalo.
Buffalo. Who wins? Bengals or Bills?
Bills.
All right. I got the Bills, too. Chicago, Green Bay at Lambeau.
I think this is the beginning of the end for the Chicago Bears.
Really?
They might lose out at.
Lose out?
They might lose at.
Really? What's your basis for that?
Well, look at the schedule.
Okay. Packer. They got the Browns left on the schedule. They're not losing out.
What are you talking about? Deshaun Watson will be back.
I'm still not sold on the Packers offense. So I'm taking Green Bay. Or I mean Chicago. Sorry, I'm taking Chicago. Green Bay.
Chicago's still phony.
All right. Rams in Arizona against the Cardinals. This
is I knew I should have picked Carolina last week and you talked me out of it. Uh-huh. Rams.
Yeah, Rams. Saints in Tampa Bay. Our Bucks. Our Bucks. Tampa Bay Bucks are failing.
A little healthier. Mike Evans returning. Irving returning. Bucks.
Yeah, I'm still on Tampa. I'm not giving up on them yet. Tennessee and Cleveland. God, do they have to play this game?
I tell my kid about this game, he's going to go crazy. You know, he, for some reason, he really gets excited over the shitty teams in the league.
Cleveland. Right. Cleveland? Yeah, I don't know why. Because Tennessee's a disaster, and Tennessee's, I think Myles Garrett will have
Tennessee
success.
Tennessee should not win a game this year. I mean, they shouldn't have won that Arizona game. They shouldn't have.
Yeah, they got lucky. Arizona blew it.
Only lucky they got cheated.
Washington, Minnesota. You got Jaden Daniels back. You got Terry McLaurin back. And just as importantly, J.J. McCarthy back for the Vikings, most likely.
I mean, at least the Commanders showed me something last week coming back.
Yep.
And sending that game into overtime. They haven't tapped out yet, so Minnesota's just awful. I mean, the quarterback. I mean, everybody here, I mean, this is a prime example. Just tank for the Steelers. I'll get their new franchise quarterback. Then you get J.J. McCarthy.
Yeah.
You can't guarantee it, so I'm going with the Red Commanders.
The Red Commanders. Yeah, I'm on Washington also because J.J. McCarthy sucks. Pickett 2.0. Dolphins and Jets. Oof.
Jets are looking a little better.
Yeah.
Since Justin Fields is out the game. The Dolphins have just quietly snuck in, huh?
They've quietly snuck back into the picture. Now, it hasn't been against anybody. They did have a win over the Bills, but for the most part, it hasn't been against anybody really good.
I'm going Jets.
I'm going upset. Dolphins.
Well, you're going out on a limb there.
You just told me how the Jets are getting better.
They're getting better.
Okay. So don't criticize my pick. Broncos and Raiders. This isn't even a question.
Weren't you supposed to say something about Yonkos or something?
They're just Yonkos.
Raiders are a bad team.
Geno might get sacked 15 times this weekend.
So I think you've answered our question then.
You're on Denver too?
I hate Denver too.
I know you do. Seattle and Atlanta. You talk about teams that quarterbacks that don't throw the ball downfield. I don't think Kirk Cousins has thrown the ball more than 6 yards downfield since they put him back in a quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, that's a flawed team. They have a lot of talent on that Atlanta team. Offensive line, skill players, quarterback's still an issue. They just can't seem to get out of their own way. I like Seattle. Seattle might be, as we head down the stretch here, might end up being the best team in the league heading into the playoffs, I think.
You think?
They had that one little hiccup against the Rams?
Yeah, Darnold's had a rough couple of weeks. He's starting to look kind of Sam Darnold-ish again, but I think you just throw it in Jackson Smith and Jigba's direction and say a prayer.
Which they didn't do last week.
Right.
Though they didn't need to.
Texans, Chiefs at Arrowhead. If the Chiefs lose this game, their playoff chances fall under 10%, I think.
Wow. Common sense tells you the Chiefs are going to bounce back, but Texans are definitely a better team.
Mm-hmm. Pass rush, baby. They're going to be all over Mahomes.
Texans have played well on the road. How am I going to do this one? I'm still going with the Chiefs until – I still think of the Chiefs find that – sweet spot. They have a very good chance. We're going to be maybe if they find that spot where everything starts to click a little bit, we're going to be here in 2 months saying, goddamn, Chiefs are in the Super Bowl again.
I don't think so. I think they're done. I think they're cooked. I think Texans basically bury them this weekend. Philly in LA against one-handed Justin Herbert. Philly's another team whose offense is just absolutely died on the vine. And they can't stop the run. Bears ran on for like 280 yards last week.
Is Herbert even going to play? I don't think Herbert's going to play. He's going to play. How's he going to take a chance?
He's played with like broken ribs and stuff.
He just had surgery.
I know. He's been a full participant at practice all week.
I'm going with the Eagles.
Eagles? Yeah, so am I, unfortunately.
Jesus. I see how you try to, you know, swerve there, try to get me to change my mind. Then you just, the Chargers. Then I'll take the Eagles.
Sometimes it works. All right. Steelers, Ravens, Sunday afternoon in Baltimore.
Ravens, easy.
Easy.
I won't pick the Steelers rest of the year.
Real? Not even against the Dolphins?
Nope. Oh, man, does that game have all of the makings of just being ugly, as in 20,000 no-show ugly.
Oof. Oh, yeah, it's a Monday night. Yeah. And
Dolphins, there's no such thing as a Dolphin fan.
No.
Outside of like Miami, maybe even in Miami. So they're not going to be traveling to Pittsburgh in December.
A lot of yellow seats.
There's going to be a lot of empties on a Monday night, especially if they lose, especially if they get whipped. There might be more than 20,000 no-shows. It might be like back circa 2003, late in the season when they were 6-10, got eliminated. And I think the Raiders came here and there was like nobody there. Nobody.
It's going to look like a pit game.
Yeah. I mean, I just can't trust the Steelers enough to pick them right now. I just can't. Especially on the road, especially against the Ravens.
Give me a score.
I think it's going to be somewhat low scoring, 24-14.
Oh, that's I got less than that. I got the Ravens 16-13. This is going to be ugly.
Oh, it's a Tomlin game, huh?
This is going to be one that
low position.
You look back at the end and you go, why did I just waste 3 hours on this thing? Because it's going to make you angry too. Thanks to Arch for supporting the show. Archie's the best place in Pittsburgh for food, wings, beer, football. All of it. Get on down there on East Carson Street in the South Side. Get some of the best wings in the city. The best wings in Pittsburgh.
Best place to watch the games.
Yes. Pittsburgh's best place for food, drinks, sports, especially the wings, and ice cold iron on draft as well. And I see light. Archie's on the South Side. We appreciate Arch supporting the show as well.
I cheated on Archie the other day.
What
the Buffalo
do?
Wild Wings.
Yeah.
I cheated on it. I felt dirty.
Yeah, every once in a while we'll go there, and I always end up leaving going, why did we come here?
Could have just went down the road and go to see Arch.
Yeah, it's always a mistake when you go to get wings and you don't go to Archie's. Real quick, Justin, don't call me Justine, wanted us to talk about Survivor Series, which was last weekend.
You want to talk about the Saturday Night Main Event? The Cena garb just came out today for the final ride, final... Final match, nothing like a $78 hoodie.
Good God.
It's a pretty nice hoodie.
Survivor Series. Who's the guy in the black hoodie? Who's the man in black?
Go read my story, my man. It was up on the website.
You have lots of possibilities listed.
I named 10 of them. Now, my number one possibility is Randy Orton.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know if Randy moves like that anymore.
That doesn't have to be Randy.
You're saying the reveal will be different than the actual human.
Yes. I mean, who cares, right? I mean, I think Austin Theory. My thought on this is a final PLE of the year.
Okay.
The big fours, right? You got superstar after superstar in this men's war game match.
Mm-hmm.
Probably the all-stars of all-stars. Maybe the best of all time when you had to put them all 10 together. And you are going to have it determined over Austin Theory? Is that going to be the reason why this whole thing worked out, because of Austin Theory joining the Vision as the number four guy?
I mean,
No way.
If they want to give him a push while getting him back out there, that would be the way to do it.
Maybe they're just going to slow play this. Jericho's contract's ending at the end of December.
Come on.
Then here he comes in January.
No one's going to be fooled to believe
Jericho, man, don't like each other personally.
No one's going to be fooled to believe that Chris Jericho scaled that cage.
Doesn't matter. It's kayfabe.
It's still got to be somewhat realistic.
No, it doesn't.
Yes, it does. It's got to have some semblance of connection to the reality that we saw in front of our eyes.
I would like to see John Cena. So when Cena does it, then he has his final match. Then all of a sudden he interrupts. I just like to see Cena Punk one last time. Somehow have a storyline of Cena really turning bad and screwing somebody over because he was trying to screw Punk over out the door. Something, I don't know. Because him and Punk arguably is the best, you know, is the biggest rival of Cena Punk, right?
Yeah.
Probably. Somehow. But like you said, could it be Becky Lynch pissed off because of Seth? Could it be? Could it be Seth?
Could it be AJ Styles?
Could it be I Show Speed? I see a lot of videos of him trying to be a...
Come on.
Is it? Here's one for you. Justine will like this. How about this Travis Scott?
Come on. So you're not giving us any hints at who you actually really think it is.
I thought, honestly, I think it's Orton.
All right. We'll see if we get any resolution on that soon, or if they slow play it. We'll see if this game on Sunday actually ends up being worth watching or not. A reminder: 412 Days of Christmas continue with a giveaway this weekend. Look for the clips from this episode, and if you repost one and tag a friend in it, you'll be entered to win this Shop 412 Trifecta driver head cover. Look at that. Imagine that in your golf bag there, Kaboom.
Yes. Why don't you click up Justine's comment about Jericho? I'm telling you, that's what it is. I make that my number two. One Orton, second would be this.
Really?
That's why I don't know.
My man better be getting in shape, because
he's gotten shape. I think he is a little bit. I don't know.
Okay. So
it Sunday better be somebody. It better be somebody significant. That's all I gotta say.
So you're not on board with Montez Ford?
I'm not bored with Montez. Montez Ford can join it, but just not in this way. Same with Austin Theory. I mean, come on now, it's Austin Theory.
I like Theory a lot. I think that
okay, but don't ruin the whole freaking PLE because of Austin Theory.
The whole thing wasn't ruined. Anyway, we'll be back Sunday afternoon after Kaboom gets back upstairs from the locker room to talk about Steelers, Ravens, and whatever happens in this thing, because I think it's impossible.
Now I think about it, man. That's an awful press box. I don't know how the hell I'm going to do this.
You'll figure it out.
It's really bad. They just redid it, and there's like no room, no place to go anywhere.
Well,
glad to see.
You'll figure it out. Again, if you were able to figure it out today, you can figure it out then. Again, keep an eye out for the clips for your chance to win in the 412 Days of Christmas from Shop 412. We'll see you after the game on Sunday afternoon. Thanks again for joining us. YouTube exclusive episode today here on Kabbalah.